Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee with Through the Bible. We are in the middle of a great story in Genesis about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, God went to great detail to put these stories in here, in a lot of detail about each of their lives, and that's because he wanted us to know about it. You know, Jesus said if all the things had been written that Jesus taught in his 3.5 years of ministry, had all the things that he did and said were written, there would not be enough books on this planet to hold all of them. That's just in his 3.5 years. So we're going back to the book of Genesis starting off. Now, we're doing this in chronological order. And so the book of Genesis covers about 2,500 years of Jewish history. I mean, it's a big but. It's the beginning. I mean, we're talking about from the Garden of Eden on. This is how God's trying to work with people. God loves people. He's trying to work through people. And so today's story is about Jacob's encounter with Esau. And so you realize the characters. Now, I taught the Bible for years. I went through the Bible 10 times in 10 years. At a chapel class, you know, had 171 days here to teach the Word of God. And so you got the story like David and Jabez and Jacob. They're an unlikely trio, but they did something the same thing. God blessed all three of them. You know, the Bible says David prayed, and here's what he prayed. May God be merciful to me and bless me. Psalm 67, verse 1. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Jacob wrestled with an angel, not willing to let go until you bless me. Chapter 32, verse 26. In each case, God did precisely that. David's kingdom enjoyed unprecedented peace and prosperity. Jabez received from God what he'd requested. In response to Jacob's position, an angel of the Lord, then he blessed Jacob there. Who wants a blessing? Well, you got to want it. You know, God likes to be chased. He's just real unique. God says, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You ask me a question, I'll answer it. You seek me, I'll see that you find me. You got to want it. God likes to be wanted. He wants to be chased. I used to tell people, you know, there are four angels around the throne of God. Each creature has six wings, with two wings to cover their face, with two wings to cover their feet, with two wings they fly. They have eyeballs on every side of their head. But all their whole job for eternity is to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Their one job for eternity is to praise God because God likes praise. God inhabits praise. It's called the sacrifice of praise. Well, you don't ever feel like praising God. I don't feel like it. Well, you don't wait till you feel like it. You do it in advance of something good. It's called the sacrifice of praise. You just praise God because you're supposed to. That tip, if you're going through a hard time, good time to get those armpits open. Raise your hands. Father, I want to take a minute and thank you for your goodness, for your blessing, for your protection, for your prosperity. Just start thanking him. And I promise the more you thank him, the more you'll want to thank him because God will start moving like a freight train in your life. And so God's got a blessing in store for all of us in the form of protection or prosperity. But you got to go after it. So we're in chapter 32. Of the story of Jacob, and it's a fascinating story. I tell people, I really like the New Living Translation. I still study the King James. I just don't speak King James. So this is a great story. Chapter 32 of Genesis. And Jacob and his household started on the way again. Angels of God came to meet him with Jacob. When Jacob saw them there, he exclaimed, this is God's camp. So in the name, he named the place Mahanaim. So Jacob now sent messengers to his brother Esau in Edom. Now he's not looking forward to this. He's dreading this because he knows he knows his brother thinks that he stole the birthright. Now Jacob knows he didn't steal it. He got it legal with a bowl of soup, but he knows his brother's not happy about this thing, and so he sent messengers to his brother Esau in Edom, in the land of Seir. He told them, "Give this message to my master Esau." Now look at the terms he's using. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. I've been living with Uncle Laban until recently, and now I own oxen and donkeys and sheep and goats and many servants, both men and women. Now I've sent these messengers to inform you of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to us. The messengers returned with the news that Esau was on his way with men to meet Jacob. Oh, he's coming. He's coming, brother. He's coming with his own troop. And so it says he's coming with an army of 400 men. Now, Jacob was terrified at the news. He divided his household with his flocks and herds and camels into two camps. He thought if Esau attacks one group, perhaps the other can escape. Then Jacob prayed, "Oh God, God of my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac, oh Lord, you have told me to return to my land. You told me to return to my relatives. You promised to be friendly and treat me kindly. I'm not worthy of all the faithfulness and all the unfading love that you have shown to me. When I left home, I owned nothing except a walking stick. And now my household fills two camps. Lord, please rescue me from my brother Esau. I am afraid that he's coming to kill me, along with my wives and my children. But you promised to treat me kindly, multiply my descendants, till they became as numerous as the sands along the seashore, but too many to count." Jacob stayed where he was that night and prepared a present for Esau. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. And then he told his servants, "Let them go on ahead with each group of animals by itself, separated by distance between." And he gave these instructions to the men in the first group. "When you meet Esau, he will ask, 'Where are you going? Whose servants are you?' This is what you will say. You reply, 'These belong to your servant Jacob. They are present where his master Esau. He is coming right behind us.' Jacob gave the same instruction to each of the herdsmen and to them. He said, 'You say to them, these belong to Esau. When you see him, tell him, your servant Jacob is right behind.'" And so the servant is right behind. So Jacob's plan appears to Esau and presents before him, meeting him with a lot of presents. Now, this is a really good tactic. You know, it's hard to get mad somebody just gave me a gift. So Jacob hoped that he'll be friendly to us. So he presented them, sent them on ahead, and then Jacob spent the night in the camp. During the night, Jacob got up, sent his two wives, two concubines, 11 sons across the river. After they were on the other side, he went over his possessions. Then he left along the camp, was left alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. And when the man saw that he couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint, knocked it out of socket. Then the man said, "Well, let's learn to do this a different way." And so he said, but Jacob panted, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him, "but it will be because you have struggled with God, and you won." He said, "Well, what is your name?" Jacob said. "Why do you ask?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob, and Jacob called the place Peniel, the face of God. He said, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." And the sun rose, you know, the morning, and he was limping because of his hip. And that's why today the people of Israel don't eat meat from the hip because of the memory of what happened that night. Now, that's the true fact. Chapter 33. In the distance, Jacob saw Esau coming with 400 men. Jacob now arranged his family into a column with two concubines and their children at the front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph last. Then Jacob went on ahead and approached his brother, and he bowed down 7 times before him. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and affectionately kissed him. Both of them wept. Then Esau looked at the woman and the children. He said, "Who are these people with you?" "These are my children that God has graciously given to me," Jacob replied. "These are the concubines that came forward with their children and bowed down before him." Next, Leah came with her children, and they bowed down. Then finally, Rachel and Joseph came and made their vows. they haven't bowed before God Almighty. They came. And when all the flocks and things came, as I met these, Jacob replied, "These are gifts, my Lord, because of your goodwill." "Brother, I have plenty," Esau said. He said, "Keep what you have." "No, no, please accept them," Jacob said. "For what a relief it is to see your friendly smile. It's like the smile of God. Please take my gifts, for God has been very gracious to me. I have more than enough," and Jacob continued to insist, so Esau finally accepted them. He said, "Well, let's be going," Esau said. "I will stay with you and lead the way." But Jacob replied, "No, you can see, my Lord, that some of my children are very young, and the flocks and herds are very young, so we're going to be, they've been driven too hard, and they may have to, so we may have some time to let them rest. You can follow us from behind if you'd like." Well, Esau said, "Well, at least let me have some of my men guide you and protect you. There's no reason for you to be so kind to me," Jacob insisted. Esau started back to Seir that same day. Meanwhile, Jacob and his household traveled to Succoth, and then he built himself a house and made shelters for his flocks and his herds. That's why the place was called Succoth, because they arrived safely at Shechem in Canaan, and they set up camp just outside of town. Jacob bought the land that we camped on from the family of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 200 pieces of silver. There he built an altar, and he called it Bethuel Israel. Now, one day Dinah, Leah's daughter, went to visit some of the young men who lived in the area. But when the local prince, Shechem, son of Hamor, saw her, he took her and he raped her. But Shechem's love for Dinah was strong, and he tried to win her affection. He even spoke to his father about him. "Please get this girl from me," he demanded. "I want to marry her." Word soon reached Jacob that his daughter had been defiled. But his sons were out in the fields, herding the cattle, so he did nothing until they returned. Meanwhile, Hamor, Shechem's father, came out to discuss the matter with Jacob. He arrived just as Jacob's sons were coming in from the fields. And they were shocked, and they were furious that their sister had been raped. Shechem had a disgraceful thing against Jacob's family. He said a thing that should never have been done. This should never have happened. Hamor told Jacob and his sons, "My son Shechem is truly in love with your daughter. He longs for her to be his wife. So please, let him marry. Let them marry. We invite you to let your daughters marry, and my sons, and we will give you our daughters as wives for your young men. And as you live among us, the land is open for you. Settle here. Trade with us. You are free to acquire property among us." Then Shechem addressed Dinah's father and brothers. "Please, be kind to me. Let me have her as my wife," he begged. "I will give you whatever you require. Now, no matter what it is they want as a dowry, I will pay." But Dinah's brothers deceived Shechem and Hamor because of what Shechem had done to their sister. And they said to him, "Well, we couldn't possibly allow this because you aren't circumcised, and it would be a disgrace for her to marry a man like you. But here is a solution. Let every man among you be circumcised like we are. Then we will intermarry with you, and we will live here and unite with you and become your people. Otherwise, we will take her away. We will be gone." So Hamor and Shechem said, "Gladly, we agreed." So Shechem lost no time in acting to this request, for he wanted Dinah so desperately. He was highly respected, a member of his family, and he appeared with his father before the town leaders to present this proposal. "So the men of these men are our friends," he said. "Let's invite them here to live among us and apply for their trade. For the land is large enough to hold all of us. We can intermarry with them, but we will consider staying here only with one condition. Every one of us men must be circumcised, so just as they are. But if we do this, all their flocks and possessions will become ours. Come, let's just agree." So all the men agreed. And you got to understand where this is going. All the men agreed. When their wounds were still sore, two of Dinah's brothers, Simeon and Levi, took their swords, entered the town without opposition, and slaughtered every man there, including Hamor and Shechem. And they rescued Dinah from Shechem's house and from the father's camp. Then all of the other brothers and said they plundered the town because she had been defiled there, and they seized all their flocks, all their herds, all their donkeys, everything they could lay their hands on inside the town and outside in the fields. They took all the women, all the children, all the wealth of every kind. Afterward, Jacob said to Levi and Simeon, You have made me stink among all the people of this land. Among all the Canaanites and Perizzites, we are so few that they will come and they will crush us, and we will all be killed. So why should we treat our sister be treated like a prostitute? And they shouted angrily. So God said to Jacob, now move to Bethel, settle there, build an altar to worship on. For God who appeared to you when you fled your brother Esau. So Jacob told everyone in his household, destroy your idols, wash yourselves, put on clean clothing. You know, we will now go to Bethel, and I will build an altar to God in his answer, because he's answered our prayers. So they gave Jacob all the idols, all the earrings. He buried all the stuff there beneath the tree in Shechem, all the bad idols. He buried them all. When they sent out again, terror from God came over all the people in the towns of the area, and no one attacked them. Finally, they arrived at what's called Bethel in Canaan, and Jacob built an altar and named it Bethel, because God had appeared to him there, and Bethel was when he was fleeing from Esau. Soon after this, Rebekah's old nurse, Deborah, came, and Deborah died. She was buried beneath an old oak tree in the valley, and God appeared to Jacob once again, when he arrived at Bethel after traveling all that way. And God blessed him and said, your name is no longer going to be Jacob. You'll be called Israel. For God said, I am God Almighty, Israel. You're going to be a master over everyone here. I'm the God. Multiply, fill the earth, become a great nation. You're even going to be great among the nations. Kings will be among your descendants. Kings will be among all those in your offspring. And it'll pass on in the land I gave Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants. Then God went up from the place where he had spoke to Jacob. Woo, what a story. Man, that got more twists and turns and cycles and whatever. Nothing is ever easy. I tell every Christian family I've ever met, everybody that's ever been in church where I've been, guys, this is not a straight line. God promised you'd be an overcomer, you'd be more than a conqueror. He'd bless what you set your hand to, but opposition will not stop. I've had so many people get born again, call me up 2 or 3 months later. Joe, can I talk? Man, ever since I got born again, hell has descended on me. And I just laughed and I said, welcome to the family of God. Listen, the devil was not resisting you when you belonged to him, but the minute you get born again, man, it's going to show up. But you've been promised to be more than a conqueror and an overcomer. You've been promised that things of God will never depart from you, that God will order your steps, direct your paths, guide you in all truth, show you things to come. He will never leave you. So don't panic. Your greatest days are in front of you. So I'll pick this up again. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.